You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Over the course of last week and the first hour of tonight, I think we've spent 2.5 hours breaking down the treason committed by the leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention. We are going to move on now. I know a lot of people have got their eyes glazed over. That is a lot of time to spend on a single story, but it's one that hits close to home.
We think most of our audience is Christian. And I think it's of interest. It's not just an interest to people in the Southern Baptist Convention. This is basically like Acre in the Crusades. This is the last citadel to fall, you know, like Acre did in 1291. The Southern Baptists were the salt and light and the faithful remnant for so long, and it is discouraging to see that they've fallen. But as I told James, why did you think you'd be exempt? It's like, we quoted Leon Trotsky in the break. I said, Leon Trotsky said, you may not be interested in the revolution, but the revolution is interested in you. Well, the cultural Marxists were definitely interested in the Southern Baptist denomination, and they have now claimed their victory.
Well, we are going to move on. Winston Smith, though, texted me during the commercial break saying that Esau at least got some soup and bread in exchange for his birthright. The SBC didn't even get that, although if you look carefully, you may find 30 pieces of silver in the pocket of a few of their principal leaders.
Yeah, he didn't even get the mess of pottage, as they used to call it.
All right, well, let's talk about what's going on in the presidential race. Keith, I saw an incredible poll, if it's true, and it wasn't even close. This wasn't who's going to win, who you're going to vote for between Trump and Hillary. It was, who do you believe is more intelligent? And I think Clinton led it 60-35 or something crazy. Clinton, people believe that Hillary Clinton was more intelligent than Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton is a woman who holds, forget about this radical feminism that she subscribes to. She would be absolutely nothing had Bill Clinton's sperm not found one of her eggs. She owes everything she has ever been to the fact that Bill Clinton knocked her up. And she has ridden on his coattails to be appointed to all of these different positions, to be able to run for that seat in New York that she held. If it had not been for Clinton, the Bill, she would have been no one. And somehow she's supposed to be more highly intelligent than a man who actually built something and worked in business and conquered the most competitive business arena you possibly could, Manhattan. And so that was one poll. And then the second poll was, this one was one that really floored me. I'd like to know who in the world these people are who are responding to this poll. They said, who do you think has higher moral values? And once again, it was overwhelmingly Clinton. This is a, I don't even know if Hillary Clinton's human. I don't say that to be funny. She has been a part of the establishment for so long, she's basically just a machine. And even when she was human, she wasn't a very good one. This is a woman completely in the tank for homosexual, sodomite, marriage.
She's an Alinskyite.
Transgender.
She was a disciple of Saul Alinsky, who is a godless, atheistic, leftist revolutionary. So, you know, if that's how you describe holiness and righteousness, heaven help you. But
So that's it. And I'll toss it to you with that, Keith. But so, it just goes to show, number one, I don't see how any heterosexual white man, whether you're from the South or from Maine or from Seattle, see how any heterosexual white man could vote for Hillary Clinton. So if you have that many people who are truly responding that they think she's vastly more intelligent and has vastly superior moral quality, moral fiber than Trump, it shows that this country does need to break up, because those are two – this country needs to separate. We need – to secede.
Yeah, I can't relate. People that believe that she is more intelligent and more moral than Donald Trump, you know, I just can't fathom. I can't.
And Trump's no Stonewall Jackson in the moral department, but I mean, compared to Hillary Clinton?
Well, at least he's married his multiple wives, and he has not been accused of rape yet, like Bill Clinton. And as far as being highly intelligent, I will agree that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are both highly educated. And it reminds me of the observation that someone made one time that somebody would have to be very highly educated to believe something as stupid as what they believe. Like, for example, their position on gun control and terrorism. How could anybody that actually has at least one foot grounded in common sense think that the way to solve Islamic terrorism is to deny guns to the entire populace of the United States? It's mind-boggling, but that's what they believe, James.
Well, so it's shaping up to be a really raucous summer. And oh, by the way, we were talking about Russell Moore and the Southern Baptist Convention. We put him as the face of the convention because he's pretty much the worst they have to offer. And since they are so bad, we might as well just let the worst rise to the top.
If they're worse, then heaven help them.
But Russell Moore, half of his Twitter tweets are just condemnation of Christians who would vote for Trump or condemnation of Trump himself. Instantly, or I should say interestingly, I have not read one tweet from Russell Moore. And the reason I'm keen on his Twitter page is because he called us a white supremacist radio show. So this is, again, Russell Moore attacking Christians and not anyone else. But he attacks Trump on a daily basis. That's fine. Maybe he doesn't like Trump. Maybe he's going for someone like Daryl Castle of the Constitution Party. But no, he's one of these Bill Kristolites. But I'll tell you one person he has never criticized in a tweet that I've seen. Hillary Clinton. Now, isn't that interesting, Keith?
Right. With all of the adultery and all of the conniving, all of the theft that is involved with the Clintons, he never was heard a discouraging word about Hillary or Bill from Russell Moore. Russell Moore is obviously a paid operative. He is, he is basically sailing under false colors. And we were talking about, if he succeeds in making the Southern Baptist Church a non-white church, he will be fired by the new management because black people aren't going to tolerate a conservative like him in their midst. But he has nothing to fear because I'm sure his good friend George Soros will find a nice cozy little sinecure for him for being a payoff for being such a loyal soldier for the revolution.
Well, that's right. And if he has ever criticized Hillary Clinton, it's at 100-to-1 clip for every 100 condemnations of Trump and evangelicals who are voting for Trump. There may be one off remark about
one scintilla
Hillary Clinton. But so this is what we're up against. So the battle lines, ladies and gentlemen, have expanded. So now, in addition to being at war with the media, and we are at war with the media, it's as hot as it could possibly get. We talk about it every week. And this year,
in fact, we were just saying over the break that we think that, the Chinese curses, may you live in interesting times. I think that the cesspool show is going to live in interesting times over the next 6 months. Hide and watch.
Well, we'll get into that in the next segment. But we're at war with the media. Academia is against us. And when I say us, I mean decent, conservative, family men, middle Americans. We don't go for men going to the bathroom with the little girls and all of these things. We're at war with academia, the media. Our government hates us.
The entertainment industry.
Our own church hates us. Hey, we got to close ranks, folks. But I'm telling you, we have a chance to break through.
Well, we're the majority, actually.
Yeah, that's the thing, Keith. Thank you for reminding people of that. We are still a majority, at least for now. People who fundamentally agree with us. We'll explore that a little bit further. Right after this.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Talking about our people being the majority, people who fundamentally agree with us, fundamentally agree with the opinions put forth on this show, I think that's right. I laugh when I watch all of these ubiquitous strategists on the TV shows talk about how Trump doesn't really have a lot of support in the Republican Party. Well, he certainly, and they claim, well, he only received this percentage of the vote in the primaries. Well, certainly his overall percentage of the pie in the primaries was split considerably because there was 16 other people running. When you're running against 16 other people, you're going to get a less percentage of the vote in some of those early states than you would have if you were running against two or three or four people, which is pretty standard. Hillary Clinton ran against one person, I think O'Malley was in there for a few weeks. But and then, of course, Trump ran roughshod in the later stages of the primary.
Well, they say the cream rises to the top.
And he still got more votes than any other primary candidate ever. All right, so all of these lies we read about Trump, the media's treatment of him is as bad as it is of us, and that is really saying something. But here's something I want to talk about, Keith. The potential for violence at the Republican National Convention coming up in July in Cleveland is something that we are going to pay close attention to on this radio program. You were talking about how it's going to be a very interesting summer. They're going to continue to try to tie Donald Trump to us because we were at one of the rallies. We were there because we are a legitimate press. We are a legitimate radio network, a legitimate radio station. Anyway, just that small and tenuous link that they didn't deny us, and they had no right to deny us, they're going to link to him. But this thing for violence, at every turn, almost at every Trump rally now, you're getting people bloodied and bruised and attacked. The law enforcement, or not the law enforcement necessarily, but the government, the Department of Justice, the media, is all in the tank, all behind these riotous thugs and blaming Trump for wanting to secure the border, basically, for inciting these people to violence, and that it's actually Trump's fault that these thugs are turning up and engaging in carnage and rampage. I think you're going to see that amplified at the Republican National Convention. In fact, a black activist by the name of Michael Eric Dyson, he's a doctor. Now, that doesn't mean much these days, but he's a doctor. He's a black activist, fairly well known. He writes blacks must march on RNC convention with revolutionary intention. So in other words, he is calling for confrontation, calling for violence. I don't see how you could interpret revolutionary intentions any other way. Imagine again, Keith, if we were sitting here advocating in 2008 and 2012, respectively, that our listeners go to Obama rallies and to the DNC convention with revolutionary intent, we would be under the jail. And listen, rightly so, you don't advocate for violence. You don't advocate
unless
for
you're a leftist. If you're a leftist, it's great. Let's break this down a little bit, if we can. Why is the leftist media and the leftist establishment of both parties so interested in the political cesspool? Are we just rock stars? Are we people that, you know, just have such a compelling presence that they think that if they allow us to go unmolested, that we're going to turn public opinion throughout the world, and particularly the United States? No. This is what they are doing this for. They know there are third rails. Keep the idea of a third rail in your mind in American politics that have been created by the left. What is a third rail? A third rail is a third rail on an electric conveyance like a subway car where you have to make contact between the two wheels, one on each side. That'd be the two rails, and the one in the middle is the power source. When you make a circuit between the three rails, you get the power, and anybody unfortunate enough to fall on a third rail, let's say in a subway tunnel, will be incinerated. They're trying to incinerate Trump by throwing him on one of the metaphorical third rails of American politics. One of them is racism, which we said is a specious concept. It was an idea invented in the mid-30s by Marxists to try to defeat, rhetorically, their conservative opponents. The other thing is Nazism, Klansmen. James has recently been falsely accused of having some position in the Ku Klux Klan, and he brought a lawsuit for defamation and slander because of that libel. It was a newspaper in Detroit. But you see, these are the third rails: Nazi, Klansman, racist. Those are the, you know, everything else pales in comparison. So they're trying to throw Trump on one of these third rails. You know, we have no personal contact with Donald Trump. We don't want to. We are just news people and journalists and editorialists that want to make a comment on a important development in American politics, which is the Trump phenomenon and the Trump candidacy for president.
Now, to be fair, we wouldn't not listen to Donald if he gave us a call and offered us a position in the cabinet, but
don't hold your breath waiting for that. And we're not looking for that. We're kind of like Corey Lewandowski, who said that even though he had been fired by Trump, he was still loyal to him. We're loyal to the ideas that he represents. But this is what the left is trying to do. They're trying to, and they will continue to do this. All this so-called free press that the left has complained about that Trump gets has basically been nothing more or less than attempts to vilify him and to throw him on various third rails. And it hasn't worked. Trump has used it to his advantage, and it shows, like we were saying before, we are what Wilmot Robertson, who wrote a book in the late 50s, early 60s, called The Dispossessed Majority. People that think like us are the dispossessed majority in the Republican Party, the dispossessed majority in the Southern Baptist denomination, the dispossessed majority in America generally. And we know that. And furthermore, the left knows that. So, but the left has dispossessed us by controlling all of the microphones, basically, in American life. They own and use as a propaganda arm the entertainment industry, the newspaper, the news media, the churches, as we pointed out earlier in this show, the educational establishment. They basically, every institution in the America and in the West that sets ethical and cultural standards, they have taken over, and they speak with one voice. And the one thing that's really bringing that out now is the response to the Orlando terrorist attack.
Yeah, let's get into that for a minute, Keith. I'm glad you segued into that because, of course, We spent a lot of time tonight continuing the discussion that Nathaniel Strickland and I had last week vis-a-vis the Southern Baptist Convention. But, of course, last week's first hour was equally remarkable when Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia were on to break down Orlando. So your takeaways from Orlando, this is the first time you've been on the air since those shootings occurred. They occurred on a Sunday morning, very early, 2 a.m., right after we got off the air 2 weeks ago tonight. And so with you being off the show last week, you haven't had a chance to sink your teeth into that yet.
Well, as Rahm Emanuel said famously, the former chief advisor to President Obama, never let a crisis go to waste. That's what the left is doing with the crisis represented by the Orlando massacre by a Muslim terrorist. Just like they did not let the Charleston church shooting that happened about a year ago go to waste, they used it as an opportunity to try to make a take no prisoners assault on all Confederate symbolism. They're using this for the same purpose, for a similar purpose, which is to bait.
Listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We'll be right back.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
That was that whatever, James.
All right, everybody. So, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool. We're talking about what happened in Orlando. We're talking about the Muslims. We're talking about really a lot of things. So you have all of these news stories that lead us to believe that the authorities are pretty much preparing for violence at the Republican National Convention. You have black activists who have, don't you know it, the ear of the Washington Post. They are...
They're actually
advocating for blacks to descend upon Cleveland with revolutionary intent. You can interpret that as you will.
They're out in the open. This isn't secret.
That's right. And so, and also, there's any number of stories out there where you can see that the authorities are pouring in tens of millions of dollars in basically the kind of riot prevention gear that you would find in a war zone. This is, they're absolutely preparing to quell a war in Cleveland. And if you think that, really, we know this already, you know that the violence has occurred at all of these different campaign stops for Trump. Why wouldn't it be that much more intense at the convention itself when absolutely every eye in the world will be on it? I would not put out at least an attempted terror attack against that convention in the style of San Bernardino and Orlando, where you have somebody just running up there with a gun or a bomb or both, or maybe multiple people. So it will really come down on how well the authorities gear up to prevent this, if preventing this is in fact their true intent.
Well, we've already got a John Hinckley-style stalker that's been arrested, some British guy that was trying to grab a policeman's gun so he could assassinate Trump.
I read about that this week.
And he said he's going to do it. So I think you're absolutely right. There is going to be violence at the Republican convention, but it's going to be started by the left. And what Trump supporters need to be schooled in is don't respond in kind under any circumstances. Use no violence. We've seen the left do this before. It's right out of their playbook from the Civil Rights Movement. During the Civil Rights Movement, they would send civil rights workers to the Highlander Folk School in Monteagle, Tennessee, which was like the Paris Island for civil rights workers. They would teach them how to dress. You know, did you ever think it was kind of strange that these black guys are always wearing white shirts with single-colored dark ties, black pants or brown pants, and horn-rimmed glasses, not a zoot suit in the bunch? This is all scripted. That's what's happening at the Trump rallies. They're scripting this violence, trying their best to provoke Trump supporters into responding in kind. What happened in the civil rights movement? They would have these civil rights workers spitting on, peeing on, throwing cups of urine and stuff like this on, and dog feces on the police. And the police would finally get enough, and then they would like turn on water cannons or turn on turn some dogs loose or something, or have dogs on a leash. It was only then that the mainstream media's television cameras started rolling. They never caught any of this provocation. They only focused on the people they wanted to vilify, which were the white Southerners in the civil rights movement, and particularly the law enforcement. Now, in the Trump campaign, they're not interested in chronicling any of the left's violence, but they are certainly hungering to see some Trump supporter come in and, you know, beat the tar out of or kill or maim or seriously hurt some protester. And then the protester is going to be cloaked in the mantle of righteousness and virtue and innocence. And the person that attacked him after being provoked is going to be transferred into the new Dylan Roof. So don't let this happen. This is what is planned by the left, and this is what they plan to do. And believe me, the Washington Post, New York Times, ABC, NBC, CNN, even Fox News, they're all in the tank. I've noticed that Fox News has now gotten extremely critical of Trump now that they see an opening to do it. So there's really not in the what most people consider to be the mainstream media, not a single voice for Trump. All the people that are for Trump are either, you know, people like us who have an internet presence, or let's say Ann Coulter, who they're trying to marginalize. I noticed that they're in the process of doing that. She's no longer getting these speaking gigs on Sean Hannity and on Fox News that she used to have. Seems to be getting replaced by Laura Ingraham, which means that Ann Coulter is giving you the real deal and they don't like it. Or Pat Buchanan, people like that. Those are the real voices for the majority, the dispossessed majority of America, James.
That could actually get on TV. I mean, of course, what we do here on the radio is every bit as good, and certainly we used to get on TV from time to time, but that's been quelled, not just for us.
Well, the fact that we're not is the same reason Ann Coulter isn't getting on there now, because we speak too much truth to power.
But that don't stop them from writing lies about us, that's for sure. They're just not going to give us an opportunity to speak unedited.
They know that if we spoke, that then their lies would be revealed to be lies and nothing more.
What happened in Orlando, obviously, at the end of the day, is no different than what happens any time radical Muslims get in contact with the rest. It's been going on for, 15 centuries at least? I mean, really, as far back as recorded civilization will allow us to go, since they had the methods of being able to travel long distances. This is not a new conflict between Islam and the West and Islam and Christianity.
Islam and modernity.
And we see now two attacks, San Bernardino and Orlando respectively, and the response, who was it, Christopher Walken, and the response from the government and the media and now the Southern Baptist Church is more cowbells. What do you do to quench this problem of terrorism? Bring more of them in, please, is the solution according to the church, the media, and the government. And I don't know, Keith, to me that just doesn't sound like a good solution.
Well, let's break down what is happening. The mainstream speaks with one voice. The problem is assault weapons and the Second Amendment to the Constitution that allows people to purchase these things. If we would just do away with assault weapons, Orlando wouldn't have happened. None of these other terrorist events would have happened. On the other hand, Trump and the conservative majority in America says it's real easy what the problem is. It is Muslim immigrants, people who are Muslims that came from the Middle East that are either newly arrived or first generation people whose parents came over. That's the source of the problem. That's what we need to profile. Trump has said we need to start profiling in the fight against terrorism. And of course, that terrorizes the left.
The whole thing about restricting Muslim immigration, halting it, is not only is it a sensible response, it is the only appropriate response, and that he would be met with ridicule and people saying how evil he is because he would put forth the only appropriate response. It's baffling, and it shows why networks like this and shows like ours are in such demand and in such need, because we back up common sense. Common sense is a novelty in the mainstream media or the establishment.
We're the
media.
Mouse that roared, to borrow a phrase from a early 1960 British movie. Here's what is going on. The left wants to say that here are some of their talking points: homegrown terrorists, because Omar Mateen was born in the United States of immigrant parents, he is now as homegrown as somebody who is a member of the founding stock of America, like Dylann Roof, for example. Also, they want to say that that he was self-radicalized over the internet. That's another thing that they said about Dylann Roof. Then they said that these people are lone wolves. They had an article in the local newspaper in Memphis about the danger of lone wolf terrorists. He's not a lone wolf. He has a support system that probably represents about half of the population of the world, or approaching that, which is Islam. That's where, you know, when he was, they were editing the tapes of his, comments and phone calls. And they were doing this because they didn't want people to realize how heavily invested and how motivated all of this was by Islam. He was not hollering hip, hip, hooray for the NRA while all this was going on. He was hollering Allah Akbar. It's obvious that the gun was just the instrumentality that he used. His motivation came from Islam. Now, Why is the left so afraid of us doing that? They are afraid of what they call groupthink. They don't want us linking all of these Muslim terrorists with a group like Middle Easterners or Muslims, because they are, as I've said before, what is the end game of all liberalism? The end game of all liberalism is globalism. They want to equalize incomes throughout the world. They want to erase borders and boundaries. They have a special agenda in store for all white nations, which is to pour non-white third worlders in. They don't want these terrorist events to get in the way of doing that. And that's what will happen if we have an appropriate response like Trump's to it. We'll be back to break this down further after these words from our sponsors.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, one more segment with Keith Alexander, and then Eddie the Bombardier Miller is going to be in here. I think he's
circling the target.
That's right. He's coming in for a landing right now after dropping his napalm. Well, he's got a little bit more saved for you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about that. But he'll be in here in the next segment. Keith, some final thoughts on what we've been discussing this hour, and then I'd like to share something personal with the audience before the end of this this segment.
Okay, we're going to break down more than Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, or any of these others have as to why you have this great disconnect between the leftist analysis of the Orlando massacre and the Trump campaign's analysis and the conservative analysis, okay?
Up what we were discussing.
Okay. Well, here's what it is. Rahm Emanuel's famous comment is, never let a good crisis go to waste. The left loves it when they're able to do that. They hate it when the right is able to use a crisis to their advantage. This Orlando massacre falls into a panoply of, I think it's almost 100 incidents since 9/11 in America, in which radical Muslims have created a mass murder of some type or another. This is just the largest in terms of body count so far. And if you point that out, then that might lead to derailing the left's primary project, which is they want to inundate white countries in Europe and America and Australia with non-whites. They're going to follow the famous advice of Bertolt Brecht, the German communist playwright, who said in 1954, if you don't like the election results, change the electorate. They want to change the electorate through immigration. If you point
Mike,
out,
take back the mic. Take back the mic and continue on.
If you put the situation that happened in Orlando in this context, they are afraid that if you tell the truth about what happened and what motivated the shooter, it will lead to a moratorium on Muslim immigration and a tightening down of illegal immigration or immigration from the third world altogether. And that's one of their primary projects. And they, the last thing they want is for that to slow down, because they basically know that the only way they're going to change America and Europe permanently is to change the makeup of the demographic makeup of both places, and that's what they want to do. So consequently, they want to use this crisis as a way of disarming Americans by taking away their assault rifles. And of course, they'll never be satisfied with that. They'll be coming for your Derringers next. And people know this. They're like the devil. They're relentless and they never sleep. They're going to continue on until we're totally disarmed and totally defenseless in the face of their assaults upon us. And as we've seen from what happened at the Southern Baptist Convention and what is happening in left-wing Democratic politics in America generally, basically what they're animated by is hatred of white people. They don't like you to engage in what they call groupthink, except they engage in it when it comes to white conservative Christians. Dylann Roof was the perfect terrorist, and they're basically, by saying that Omar Mateen was a lone wolf radicalized by the internet who had one of these bad guns in his possession, they are basically trying to turn Omar Mateen into Dylann Roof. Now, Dylann Roof, they used the Charleston church massacre as an excuse for a full-out take-no-prisoners assault on all things Confederate. Now they're using Omar Mateen for a full-out, no-prisoners-barred assault on the Second Amendment and your right to bear arms. This is how the left operates. They would tell a lie when the truth would sound better. Everybody knows that it's ridiculous to you know, blame a firearm for a mass murder. There is a human agency involved here. And what was he motivated by? He wasn't yelling hip, hip, hooray for the NRA. He was saying Allah Akbar. That's why they were trying to edit out all the references to Islam that were on his phone messages, because they didn't want people to draw the wrong translation right conclusion about what was motivating this mass murderer. You know, they the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, has gotten its camel's nose in the tent of law enforcement, and they're the ones that are the source of this comment that we've heard many times in the past, that the real terrorist threat in America is not Muslims, is not Hispanic gangs and cartels. The real threat is white Gentiles coming back from the Middle East with military training that know how to use guns and whatnot. That's who they want to be the problem. Of course, somebody like Dylann Roof fits their profile, but Dylann Roof is like Haley's comment. Somebody like him flies through the atmosphere about once every 75 years. you know, what happened in Orlando is much more consistent with the pattern of terrorism that we've seen, and it would take a fool not to realize that this is all coming from the same source and that we need to do something about choking off the source of these terrorists. And if we have terrorist people in America, we need to send them out. This is why also the UN is very upset with our proposal, with Trump's proposal, that we have safe zones in Syria in which these refugees could stay rather than sending them to Europe and America. Of course, the UN is the granddaddy of all globalist one world organizations, and they love to use crises as, you know, an opportunity. And that's what they're doing with what's happening in Syria. It's an opportunity to pump third worlders into Europe and America. That will go a long way towards their ultimate goal of equalizing incomes in the entire planet, because Europe and America and Australia will no longer be able to come to the fore or come to the top economically with all these third worlders in our midst.
Keith, outstanding job, my friend, as always. And as we come up on the end of this hour, I would like to make mention of a fact. Something fairly significant happened to me between last week's show and tonight's live broadcast, and that is I turned a year older. On Wednesday, June the 22nd, I turned 36 years old. Now, I have always considered those of you in this listening audience to be members of my extended family, to be member of our extended family collectively with Keith and Sam and Eddie and Winston and the rest of the staff, Scoop, Sean, Jim, and the rest of them, Art Frith. So it's natural that on special occasions we share in these things together. So whenever a holiday, anniversary, or birthday comes up, it gives us time to pause and reflect on what we've accomplished in life, while remembering those who are important to us. Birthdays, of course, remember us how quickly the hands of time can spin. And it seems like just yesterday, when I was bringing to you the very first broadcast of the Political Cesspool, that was, of course, on October 26th, 2004. That wasn't yesterday. That was nearly 12 years ago. 12 years have nearly passed since that fateful night occurred when all the stars came into alignment. Time flies. It's been a hell of a ride this year, especially so. But from the bottom of my heart, I want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of you for taking part in this journey with me. I look forward to making more memories and sharing more victories together. I love you, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to know that on my birthday, which just passed a couple of days ago, and every day, I am thankful to have the love and respect and support of so many wonderful people. It's the greatest gift that anyone could have. I say that now rather than at the end of the show, because my wife and I have reservations at 8:30 at a restaurant in downtown Memphis, so I'm going to be leaving here after this segment. But don't worry, the show continues live with Sam Bushman, guest hosting for me the final hour, along with Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We said he was coming, and coming he is, although it won't be with me or Keith. We'll be leaving. And anyway, I love you,
James,
folks.
I didn't know there was any fast food restaurants open at that hour.
At 8:30 at night, you better believe they're all open. And I'm going to find me one.
And he speaks from experience.
we're going to find a nice restaurant to go to. And anyway,
not a vegan restaurant.
They serve vegetables. That probably ain't going to work. But anyway, folks, I love you. And remember, this is the last time I'll have a chance to remind you that our second quarter fundraising drive wraps up at the end of this month. So by the time we come back on the air with you next week, it will be over and done with. If you have not yet contributed to the political cesspool in the month of June or this fiscal quarter, we ask you to do so before the end of June. And of course, all contributions help. $5, $10, $25, $50. But if you donate $100 or more, you're going to get a nice DVD of my speech at the American Renaissance Conference a few weeks ago. So get those in ASAP, folks. We love you. God bless you. Stay tuned for Sam and Eddie. I'll see you next week.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.